Josh and Shannon, what a joy to see your faces and have you with us today. I've never met Josh and Shannon just by email and some other correspondence, but they were speakers at our Nazarene General Assembly Missionary Convention 3 years ago. I had the privilege of sitting in the third row and throwing tomatoes back at you. No, you had referred to that one time. But Josh, I did appreciate so much sharing about the world and missions. And Josh and Shannon, we're going to be here in Pennsylvania for our district missionary convention 3 weeks ago. And of course, that got canceled. And so I called or I sent a note to Josh and said, Josh, could you still be our Faith Promise speaker? He was supposed to be here 2 weeks ago. And what a joy it is that you're with us. Josh, if you can hear us and we can hear you, I'd just love to turn this over to you. Share whatever's on your heart. And your daughter, I didn't know how to say her name. Is it Carice or Karis or how do you pronounce her name? You introduce your kids and take it away.
Okay. Can you hear us okay?
Yep. I think so. We're good. Can you guys hear out there? Put up your hand. Say something else.
Can you hear us? Are we good? Are we connected?
Well, at least those of us that are here can, so go ahead.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you for inviting us to speak today and to connect with you guys and get to know you a little bit, or that you can get to know us a little bit. And so this is a special treat for us as we've been in lockdown in Romania for a while with the coronavirus, just like everybody in the States. And so it's nice to be able to connect. To give you a little bit of background of who we are and so you can meet our family, I'm Shannon. This is Josh. And we do have two kids. I'll let our daughter Karis introduce herself and say something.
Oh, my name is Karis. I am 15 years old. I enjoy singing and dancing and playing Ultimate Frisbee.
All right. And then over here we go. We have Caden.
My name is Caden. I am 12 years old, and I like sports, video games, and I like riding my bicycle.
All right. What is something interesting about Romania? What is something that you like about Romania, Karis, or something you think people would find interesting?
Well, sometimes we get bear alerts on our phones of a bear around our neighborhood. So usually the announcement is to stay at home and stay indoors, and we decide to go out and try to find the bear. So
oh, you're not supposed to say that. So we're just gonna move right along.
Is there anything you think is interesting about Romania or fun?
My favorite thing about Romania is probably the nature around. I love Dracula's Castle, especially since we live in Transylvania.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
It's a real place. Transylvania exists. If the kids thought maybe it was just in cartoons and movies, it's not. We live in Transylvania, so that's kind of a fun thing. But just so you have a little bit of background about who we are, Josh and I got married in 2003 in Newport, Oregon. That's where we were living at the time. And really, missions has been part of our lives together since we met. We met at a training for prospective Nazarene missionaries in Kansas City. And so we knew from day one of meeting each other that both of us were called to missions. I served and lived in a few different places. I served in Cuba and in Mexico and Kazakhstan and some other places before we were ever married. And Josh served in Venezuela and some other locations as well.
India.
Yeah, I took the Jesus film in there. He's got some great stories about the Jesus film in India. But so we knew that missions was part of who we were before we got married, and it became a part of who we were after we got married as we went and served in Guatemala for a year. And missions has been a blessing in our lives. In 2010, we moved to Spain, and that's where we started our official missionary service for the Church of the Nazarene, and we were there for 6 years. And then the Nazarene Church asked if we would move to Greece to start the Church of the Nazarene there. And so we accepted that call, and we moved to Greece. And unfortunately, we were only able to stay there for 7 months because we could not get visas. It was just impossible to get the documents that we needed to live in Greece. And so we had to leave. And we didn't know then what we were going to do, where we were going to go. And God had said, you need to keep serving on the Eurasia region. Europe needs to know about God. And so we just knew that that was where we were going to stay. And so the Eurasia region asked us to move to Romania. And so that is how we found ourselves in this country. And we've been here for almost 3 years. And it's been a blessing. It's been a journey that we didn't expect to go from Spain to Greece to Romania. But God has a plan. He has a purpose for it all. And we're just glad to be a part of it.
I've really been amazed to see the way that missions has affected our entire family. For a while, it was just the four of us. Just in our entire family, of those of us doing missions. But that has since changed, as my sister Sarah and her husband Camilo and their three children, they are now serving with missionaries in with the Church of the Nazarene. They started off in Cape Verde, Africa. There must be a shortage of missionaries if they got called. But if you're going to put my sister anywhere on an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, that's the place to do it. They've since been moved to Equatorial Guinea, so with monkeys to the north and lions to the south and water on the other parts, I think they're pretty safe there. My in-laws, after 40 years of pastoral ministry, they also felt like God was leading them in another direction as well, and they began to pray about it and felt like God was calling them into missions, following us there and coming into the same type of work that we were. And this story started off great because they were sent to Sri Lanka, 4,208 miles from us. But through a change of events, a stroke of bad luck, and an old European curse I somehow cast on myself, their field has changed. And now Shannon's parents are serving in the country of Bulgaria. If your Eastern European geography is a bit rusty, let me help you. Bulgaria is a lot closer to Romania than it should be. The negative is that they can come and visit us whenever they want. The positive thing, though, is that when the house falls from the sky and lands on my mother-in-law, it's a short drive to go get those ruby slippers. So
you're terrible.
They are actually separated because of the coronavirus. My mother-in-law was visiting family and going to a wedding in the U.S. and right as things were starting to get bad, all of our European countries closed their borders. And so now my in-laws have been separated for
2 months. Not that separated.
That sounds really bad, so I probably should clarify. Physically separated for
two months.
So needless to say, my father-in-law is doing well and taking care of them. It's been a really interesting ride for us. In the ministries that we were a part of in Spain changed dramatically when we moved to Greece, as not only were we trying to plant the work of the Church of the Nazarene among Greeks, but we were also working with refugees, as Greece was in the middle of a refugee crisis at that point. But then moving up here to Romania had a lot of other challenges. And coming out of communism and seeing the way that the church has been working there, and the ministries that we have here are just so varied as much as the population is. Down south in the capital in Bucharest, the ministry focuses on working with survivors of human trafficking.
Work a lot with the Open Door Foundation is the name of the foundation that the Nazarene Church has in Bucharest, and it is run by the pastor's wife of our Nazarene Church in Bucharest. And so I have had the privilege of working in the safe house that we have, where the women who are rescued out of trafficking situations are able to come and live in a safe place. And it has been absolutely amazing to see how these women's lives are changed through the work of the Church of the Nazarene and the Nazarenes who are involved in this ministry. They come out of such horrible situations of being abused and starved and just destroyed. You know, they're just destroyed. And they come into this safe place, and they're not required to go to church on Sundays. But it's amazing to watch how every single girl who comes into the home chooses to go to church at the Nazarene Church on Sundays. And these girls know that they are loved at the Nazarene Church. And we have seen, since we've been here, some of these women come to Christ. We've seen them be baptized. Many of these women have babies, either before they arrive and they bring into the home with them, or we've had three girls in the last year who have delivered babies and had their babies after arriving in the home. And so we've had these beautiful babies bless the home. And these girls have wanted to dedicate these children to God. And it's just been an absolute blessing to see the redemption and the love and acceptance that the Nazarene Church has showed these women. And, you know, even after they graduate out of the safe house and they have jobs and they're safe again, it's a blessing to see how many of these women continue to come to the Nazarene Church and continue to have connections and really have come to realize how much they're loved and valued. And it's a beautiful ministry.
It's, as you travel further north, actually to the northwest, we have a town that we're have already started doing some work in that we're hoping to plant in soon, the town of Sebeden. Sebeden came to our attention because of the work of Open Door, as this town has just been ravaged by human trafficking. In fact, 100% of the children that we have talked to, that we have entered into conversation with, have admitted to being part of a child pornography ring. It was devastating to this town. As a van shows up one day, the kids were already being trafficked in a way. Their parents were putting them on public buses and shipping them about 45 minutes into the capital, into the city of Bucharest, and being forced to beg for money, got back on the bus, came back into the town of Sebeden. But one day a large white van shows up, pulls up, and really begins, the guy who's driving really begins to reprimand the parents and let them know that what they're doing is wrong, that it's dangerous to put their children on these large public buses where anything can happen. And so he wants them to be safe. He wants to get them into the capital safely. And so he opens up his van, loads the children in, and takes them in and delivers them back to their town at night. It took longer than it should have for it to be discovered what exactly was happening. This man wasn't taking them to the center of Bucharest at all, but rather was taking them to his home and filming child pornography films, devastating the lives of all of these children. Even now, the place where they live, there's an open field, and they have built these shacks around that open field. Most of them are just open air. About 85 people live in this very small community. On the outskirts of Sebeden, and all 85 people share one outhouse. In fact, the last time I was there, the weeds were so high that it looked like no one had even been there. I guess when you share one outhouse for 85 people, at that point, it just isn't even worth sharing. It's not even worth using. This is also in a town made of mostly Romanians, but those in this community are Roma, the word that we use for those who are part of the Gypsy community. We decided to start ministry there to just kind of try our hand at what ministry would look like in that situation. So we began to do, one of the ministries that we do is playing sports. We have been surprised and amazed at the way that God has used something as
simple.
Yeah, it's not simple when you're teaching 60 or 70 kids how to play baseball and American football for the first time. So I'm not sure simple's the right word. We probably should think of a better word for that type of ministry. But we started doing baseball and American football there in Sebeden, and it is dangerous as you pull out the bats and balls and gloves, and these kids, of course, the first thing they go for are bats, and then they begin swinging them, not realizing that they're about 3 centimeters from the next kid's head. Praise God we haven't had no serious injuries. But sports has been a great way for us to build relationships in the community. This is one way that we can use teams and we can use people coming to Romania, because I have tried to lead a camp by myself. And I'd rather not do that again. That's at all possible. We started this baseball camp and we let the Romanian kids in the town of Sebeden know. We also let these Roma kids who, again, every single one that we had talked to had been a victim of this child pornography ring. We were able to witness a miracle as Romanian and Roma kids in a culture, in a country where those two don't mix. To watch those kids share that field, to come together with no major arguments. I won't say no arguments, there were a few, but no major arguments. Everyone was safe. Everyone enjoyed each other's company. Gave us the opportunity to share the story of Jesus Christ to many who had never heard that story before. We were really worried about what the mayor's office and specifically the school, because we used the soccer field behind the school, we were worried about what they would say once they found out that we were a Christian group. And as we got to know them and start these conversations, God just began to work in the hearts of those who led that community. The principal of the school came out to see what this camp looked like. She said, you know, I'd like you to know that as far as I know, I'm the only Christian in this community. And we have been praying for something like this for a long time. Would you be willing to come to my town 20 minutes away and do the exact same thing? Because we need this kind of activity to share Jesus in a creative way that brings Romanian and Roma groups together. And we've been able to see that. Then you head further north. We're in the city of Brasov. We are the gateway to Transylvania. We live about 30 minutes from Dracula's castle. So it is a real thing. It looks like Dracula's castle on the outside. On the inside, it kind of looks more like a Disney princess castle, I guess. Just a really bad
it's
one.
Modern.
It's modern. Modern, yeah. It's not worth going in, but from the outside, it looks great. So if you ever get a chance to see it, if you ever come to Romania, I'll be happy to show you the outside and tell you lies about the inside, just to make it seem a little better than it is. But we are living in the heartland of Vlad Tepes, the man who originates the story of Dracula. Here in the city of Brasov, we are church planting. The house that we live in is a duplex. The other side is going to be the First Church of the Nazarene here in Brasov, Romania. Further north, our ministries look a little different. We work with both Romanian populations and with the Roma, but we have a lot more poverty up north. We've been able to see this especially in the town of Sigmondru, where the church has been working very effectively with the Roma population that's there in that town. I can tell you lots of stories. I can tell you the story of Christina, who was coming to the church and was active in the children's program. And one day she doesn't show up. Children come running in and explain that Christina's head is broken. And not knowing what that means, Nelutsu, the youth pastor and the pastor's son of that church, he would always go to this house and take them bread. And he drives as fast as he can over to Christina's house and walks into their place and sees Christina lying there on her bed. As he looks at her head and sees the open wound, he starts realizing that there's going to be a bigger problem as her head is just covered with lice, bugs, and eggs. And here in Romania, often that means that you're not going to be treated because they're not going to risk that kind of infection or the lice, bugs, and eggs in dealing with that type of infection. Nelutsu, it doesn't stop him as he loads Christina into his car and off they drive as fast as they can to the hospital, which was miles away, and he's praying the whole time that they will just accept her, that she can get treated there. He picks her up, they run into the hospital through the doors, and the first person that he meets is the janitor. He explains to the janitor who they are and why they're there and explains to her the problem. And it just so happens that the janitor is from the very same small town of Sigmondru. She immediately has compassion on Nelutsu and on little Christina, takes him into a side room. She cleans up the lice, bugs, and eggs, gets her hair clear of them, and then even begins to treat the infection itself. And without even seeing a doctor, Christina is already starting to feel better. They bring her back, and she continues to be a part of that church. She's now married, has moved away. It's still a follower of Jesus Christ in her town, not too far from the town of Sigmondru. We've been amazed at the issues that the church has had to encounter there. One of the biggest issues that we have is within the Roma community, there are a lot of young teens who get married. It's considered acceptable, and there's really, in their mind, nothing else to do. And so we have a large number of 12-year-old girls who are marrying their 13-year-old boyfriends, and this is normal. Right behind the church, there's a small stream, and on the other side of that stream is a row of houses. There's a really bright turquoise blue house that is sitting there. And whenever you're there at the church, especially when it's warm outside and people are coming in and out, you can hear someone screaming from that house, yelling. And it just, if the windows are open, it's the first thing that really grabs your attention. We've learned that the man who is always screaming is screaming at everyone who lives in the house. The problem is, it is a two-room house. Well, I say two rooms. One house is done. They're building the second room. But there are 16 people living in that house, 12 adults and 4 children. And we use the term adult pretty loosely because some of the adults are a 12-year-old girl married to a 13-year-old boyfriend, a 13-year-old girl who married a boy just a couple of years older than her. That 12 and 13-year-old, you can see them sitting outside. Almost every time I'm there in Sigmundra, I'd see those two girls sitting outside washing clothes and washing dishes. They saw that there was a lot of activity across the little stream there happening in the yard of the church. As one of the things that we do, one of the micro businesses that we do to support the church, is we have multiple greenhouses, and the food that is raised there is able to provide food through child sponsorship for all the children, sometimes as many as 80 to 100 children who come twice a week to sing worship songs together, to learn about Jesus, to do a craft, and also to be fed. It's those greenhouses that feed all of those children as well as many other people.
We might have, and I'm thrilled for that, that we could hear what's going on in their ministry. Obviously, it's been many years ago, 14, 15, I don't remember when our ladies group went to Romania. We had a work and witness trip. 12 years ago, we had a ladies trip to Sigmundru, if I'm saying it right. Our district actually is planning a work and witness trip next summer, and they're doing it in two groups because they had so many people apply to go. That they're planning to go to Romania, and they'll be working with Josh and Shannon in that ministry and in that place. So we're excited about that. I was hoping I'd have a chance to ask Josh and Shannon about Cuba and India. Shannon apparently lived there for a while and ministered there, and I'm kind of curious to know where she lived and what kind of ministry they had in Cuba. And then Josh, I know, showed the Jesus film throughout India, and I'm interested to know where they were able to do that. But here they are, servants of the Lord, and boy, they've lived in so many incredible places. I just started writing down all the places I heard that they're from, and I think they might be back. Hey, Shannon, can you hear me, see me? Wave if, okay, good deal. I was just telling the people some of the other things I'm excited to ask you about. For example, Cuba. We've had a couple of work and witness trips to Cuba, and we'd love to know where you're at in Cuba. And Josh, I'd love to know where you're at in India. You're sharing. Tell us that. But if you can, tell us a little bit about Cuba and India also, if you have a minute to do that.
That's all right. I'm so sorry that the internet went down. I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah. Who knows what to expect?
we don't actually know. So I've been talking for like the last 20 minutes, so I don't know at what point we disconnected. So sorry about that.
You're doing great, and we're just thrilled to hear from you. Yeah, hey, this is great.
Yeah, when I was in Cuba, we were serving in Havana, Cuba, and I was there translating and working with different sports programs in the schools and connecting the churches with the local schools is what I was doing while I was in Cuba. So it was an amazing place. I would love to go back to Cuba to visit one day. It was lovely. The people were amazing, and it was a real blessing to be able to work there and just get to know the people and translate and get to know the churches and have some fresh experience, because I was still pretty young. I had some fresh experience in missions.
That's great. One of our teams were in Havana last March. One of our groups were in Havana for a trip there, so they got to see a lot of Havana as well. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
And Josh? India?
Yeah, I went to India in 2000, right after graduating from Olivet Nazarene University. And my job, well, they get stupid college kids to do it, is my job was to smuggle in the Jesus film DVD and to pass that to pastors, not only with the Nazarene Church, but actually every denomination. They had joined together to show the Jesus film. And so my job was to take those videos and just use the train to get up and down almost the entire eastern coast. So spent some time in mostly in Bangalore in the south. We kind of used that as our hub. But yeah, there's all sorts of interesting stories of almost getting stoned at one location. I got kidnapped by a taxi driver at 2 o'clock in the morning and held in a dark alley as all my stuff was gone through. And I actually had every last and was told before I went that I needed to keep $20, the equivalent of $20, in order to leave the country, because it was $15 to leave. And got to the airport after being robbed with nothing and just saying, I don't even know how I'm going to get out of here. And went up to the counter, told my story, didn't know if they would believe me or not. And they said, they asked to look at my ticket. And they said, well, you don't have to worry about it. When you bought your ticket, you had already paid that exit fee. So able to see the way that God had worked in that situation. It was quite an incredible trip. And been able to see the way that the Jesus film has been used to change lives around the world. So that was great.
Is it a better format to ask some questions? That way we know we're connected.
Let me ask you, what was your sister's name that you said that you were telling us about?
Sarah and Camilo Gonzalez.
Yes, they were here for our district tour last year, and they were here. So a lot of us had a chance to meet them and have them with us. That was so neat. Thanks for setting us up with them. You gave me their name about 3 years ago, and that worked out really great. We're glad that they came, and our people, I think the people in this district just really enjoyed them and love being with them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. We're glad they got to connect. They're good people.
How many languages do you speak?
Oh, well.
I mean, have you learned the language in all these places, like Spain and Greece and now Romania?
I guess it depends on your level as far as fluency. I mean, we speak Spanish fluently because of our time in Spain. Greece, we weren't there long enough to really get a great grasp of the language. So I had remembered some from Biblical Greek. Of course, the Koine Greek is quite different than modern Greek. But we learned some phrases to get by, enough to make people think that we spoke Greek. And then with Romanian, we understand almost everything. But speaking is still very slow. Our Spanish actually helps us understand Romanian. But speaking it, the grammar is quite different. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it a little more difficult to actually sound like you know what you're doing.
I see.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then I did some pretty decent Russian when I left Kazakhstan, but that's been years ago now. And so I would say I can understand this.
Well, for crying out loud, you're not that old, so.
Oh. Well, not for many moons to have passed.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this is a joy. I kind of wish, maybe, does anybody have any questions out there that you would like to ask? Again, our setting is so different than normal. Does anybody have something you would like to ask Shannon and Josh? It's an opportunity to do it. I know you have to be present to do so, but anybody? Everybody's quiet. All right. Well, I kind of cut you off, and I didn't mean to, although I did really want to ask you about Cuba and India, because I saw that in your story. What else do you want to share with us? Anything else kind of on your heart and would love to tell us about?
Well, we just want you to know that God is working here. In fact, in all the countries that we have been fortunate to serve in, even as a young couple, as volunteers, we were serving in Guatemala, and it was just amazing to watch the way that God was working in the lives of the Guatemalans, even while we were there. The work that we do here on the mission field is absolutely impossible without all of you. One of the things that we have done is we have kind of used Faith Promise as an emphasis of raising money for missions. And that's why it's so important. But it has just been the consistent support of NMI, of Nazarene Missions International, and then local churches like yours, that through Faith Promise and raising the World Evangelism Fund, you make the work that we do possible. Without giving, we come home. Mm. And this is how we're able to tell the stories, tell the story of Jesus through all these different means. I mean, whether it is through just building relationships, through the local church, through sports ministry, through discipleship in the local church, through evangelism, even through work and witness. I mean, things, teaching English and after-school tutoring. I mean, it's been amazing what different ministries have given us the opportunity to share the story of Jesus. And some have heard that story before, some haven't at all. When we were living in Spain, we had a group of Spaniards in our town who had gathered in our house every Sunday evening. And many of them had just never even heard the story of Jesus, coming from a country that is very Catholic in its heritage, but it just didn't know anything about it. Your giving to missions is what makes what we do possible. And people are hearing the story of Jesus because of your faithfulness in giving. Anytime that you want to know specifically what those stories are, feel free to contact us either on Facebook or through email, you know, Skype or Zoom with us when it works. and we would even love to show you the location so that you can see the work that God's people are doing in these communities, whether it is through helping survivors of human trafficking or helping just impoverished neighborhoods. We're sharing the gospel in many different ways.
Yes, yes. Well, you've talked about the human trafficking, and I've heard about that issue in Romania and other so many other places, but what you've told us today, just it's hard to hard for us, hard for me to get my head around that and what's going on there and the needs that are there and so many different opportunities that you have to draw people to God's love and God's truth. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. I just want to say that this has been incredibly neat. Although we had our problems with Zoom or whatever, but boy, that you were able to get on. Just let me go ahead and say thank you to our tech team. You guys are incredible. I don't know how you put up with us sometime, but you have. I mean, I don't know how they put up with me, I'll say that anyway, but they've kept working at it. They've gone to plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D, and able to get you on today, and that's great. This is Faith Promise Sunday, and this is different. I know our emphasis was not going to be on raising money, but I'm so thankful, Josh, that you could tell us a little bit about how Faith Promise, what it means to you guys as missionaries, and realize that God gives us a great privilege to give to people around the world and give to the mission that God calls us to give to spread the gospel around the world. And I'm thankful for a church that is generous. I'm thankful for a church that has continued to give through this virus. And honestly, some of our offerings some of these weeks have been bigger than before the virus. And I'm thankful for that. I do want to say to our church family that our missions giving to World Evangelism Fund is such an important part of who we are as a church and our identity. I believe that I feel the call of God to, number one, give my tithe every Sunday to the church. That's God's tithe anyway. It's not mine. I said mine, but I really meant to say that's what God calls every Christian to do, to support their ministry. And I believe as part of the Church of the Nazarene that God gives us an opportunity to support our Nazarene missionaries around the world. We call it the World Evangelism Fund. And our church pays about $25,000 each year. It's our share of support to support the Nazarenes around the world and World Evangelism Fund. And it's from the generosity of the people that we're able to do that and to have work and witness trips and child sponsorships and Alabaster and Compassionate Ministries and just dozens and dozens of ways that people give to missions around the world. They're all important and all have value, and different people have different things they connect to, but especially World Evangelism Fund. That is the bread and butter of our ministry to Nazarene missions around the world. And if we don't do that, then it all falls apart. You just said something that without that giving, you guys come home. And there's missionaries out there that are on that line, and they're facing decisions about not being able to be funded or having to come home and not be able to be there. In the last few years, there's been a lot of pressure to continue the same ministries and expand them around the world. And boy, I just feel like this is such an important area for our church. It might not be the largest area in total, but our giving to mission says a lot about what we believe about the call of God to take the gospel around the world. And I just feel so strongly about it that every Nazarene who's a part of our church and a part of who we are as a denomination should have a fire within us to help to see the gospel go around the world. And so that's to me what Faith Promise is about. And I just want to challenge our people today. Again, we're going to receive our offering here in a few minutes. We didn't do that already. And some of you give online. Some of you are here and might drop it in the plate up here if you want to. Others are mailing in checks for missions, for tithe, for help fund, for all kinds of needs in our church family. But especially, I want to challenge you to pay your tithe and to give to World Evangelism Fund. I just feel like it's such an important part of our identity and who we are, and just want to encourage our people to have a heart for that and be involved in that. So we're going to receive our offering at this time, and again, we have an offering plate up on the front here on the altar if you want to come and bring that, if you have that. Most of you have been mailing in your offering or going online to do that, but whatever the case. And today, this is the first day in this virus time that we've taken a special offering, but I just want to invite you today to give an offering for missions. And whether that means you put something in the mail or you do online or wherever you do it, I would like for us to send a very good offering to our speakers today in Romania. And just want to invite you to give to that. And so if you're able to and you can do that, invite you to do that today. We'll receive our offering at this time and just give a couple of minutes and ask Shauna if she'll play. And we'll worship the Lord with our offerings today for just a moment. And we're going to come back and talk to Shannon and Josh then after that, if we could do that. Okay? All right. Thank you. Your faithfulness. Thank you for your giving. Josh and Shannon, have anything else you want to share with us or anything you've thought about here? And you say, we'll tell them Mifflinburg or something else. Anything you want to share?
I think that we have connected with you guys and have come to see that you are a praying church, and I could see that you guys really, really appreciated prayer this morning, and I appreciated that. And, I wanted to share a short story and ask for prayer for one of the girls in the home, in the safe house. Her name is Kati. And Kati came to the house after being trafficked for 8 years or so. And she had been trafficked all over Europe. And she has a really, really powerful story that she shares with people. And she has become an amazing Christian at the Church of the Nazarene. in Bucharest, and she leads all the girls in the home in Bible studies, and she's on fire for God. And her story is amazing because she's just such a different person. Most of these girls are rescued by Interpol or by police, but Kati rescued herself, and Kati found a way when she was being trafficked in England. She found a way to get on an airplane and fly to Canada. And Kati was in Canada for a few weeks, and she decided that she wanted to apply for asylum as a trafficking victim. And so she went, and she went to apply. And they looked at her and they said, well, you can't apply for asylum because you didn't arrive here the correct way and you didn't ask for asylum upon arrival. And so they said, so within 24 hours, we're going to send you back to Romania. And Kati was terrified because she knew that her trafficker was looking for her in Romania. And so Kati took advantage of those 24 hours, and she did as much research as she could about safe houses and ways that she could find help once she arrived in Romania. And she found a reporter who had done a story on Open Door Foundation and the ministry that we do in Bucharest. And so she contacted that reporter directly on Facebook and gave her entire story and sent photos and sent all the notes she had taken over years of being trafficked to this reporter. And this reporter then connected her directly to Open Door Foundation. And they were able to mobilize themselves so that the minute she landed in Romania, they were there at the airport to pick her up and take her directly to the safe house. And that's not a normal story of rescue. Kati is an amazing person, and she is currently finishing up her schooling to be a, well, she has just finished up her schooling to be a flight attendant. And she has been offered some jobs, and she's waiting for the right one because she needs to make sure that it's in the right place with the right support systems, hopefully in Bucharest, because she wants to keep going to church and keep volunteering and helping the girls at the safe house. But Kati is an amazing blessing, and I know that God is going to do some beautiful things in her life. And so I just wanted to ask that, if God brings Kati to mind, or that you would pray for her, because she's going to be taking some huge steps in the future as she becomes independent and starts her job on an airline. And we just really want to support her in prayer. So I think it would be amazing, and it would be a blessing to her to have prayer support from our churches back in the United States. So I just wanted to share a little bit of her story.
Thank you.
It's been amazing, too, to watch the way that these girls have also learn just how important it is to give. As our church in Bucharest has been helping out, we have a lot of elderly people, of single people who attend that church, who of course have been hit hard by the shutdown of the economy, and didn't have food to eat, didn't have access to money. And so the local church there in Bucharest has been doing what they can to help the congregants in getting food, putting together little packages and making sure that they had medicine and food specifically. And the girls who have been rescued and have been coming to the church and have given their hearts to Christ and have been baptized and participate every single Sunday, the people in the church have become like their family, the family that some of them have never had and don't really know anything about. They felt so led to give back in the way that they have been shown love. They wanted to show that love. And every week, those girls get a stipend, a little allowance of what translates to $7.50 American. And those girls in that home got together and decided that each of them were going to give 50% of that every single week while this is happening to those in the congregation who were in need.
Wow.
It's been amazing to see the way that God has transformed those lives, where these girls who have been rescued, we have one girl who was rescued from a basement where she had been held for 9 years. Nine. Just came completely broken. And when she is in our church on Sundays, every time that I'm there and we sing the hymn "In Christ Alone," she just begins to weep, because she realizes that out of those 9 years, when the only human interaction that she had was when the light would come on under the door and she knew that abuse was coming, that even during those darkest moments, that Jesus was with her. Now that she understands that, that song just has such a powerful impact. To see the way that these girls have just been introduced to the gospel and are now sharing that gospel with others has been absolutely incredible. So know that as you're giving to missions, that you are coming alongside of people who used to be recipients of mission help that are now their own type of missionaries, even here in Romania. Mm-hmm. Lives are being changed.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. That's just great. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your power to save from sin and to save from circumstances that are evil. I'm thankful today to hear about this young lady, Casey, and God, the incredible journey she's been on. I pray you continue to bring healing to her and opportunity for her to impact others of the power of God in her life. I pray you would help her and on behalf of hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of women that are being trafficked, God, we pray, God, that their stories will find an answer and a solution by your power and your grace and by the love of people and by the ministry of Christians and others, God. I pray, God, for them. I pray for this situation in Romania. I pray that you continue to redeem and bring out of this slavery, out of these horrible circumstances, God, and that you would rescue them and that you would help people to know how to work. I thank you for Josh and Shannon today, and pray you would give them wisdom to know how to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in Romania and Hungary and other places where they've been and where they're going. I pray, God, for them today. I pray for Karis and for Caden, that you would bless them and these young people would sense your hand to guide them as they continue to grow up, and pray, God, that you would just lead them in every way to know and to follow your plan. Lord, bless them and watch over them for this whole family, God, we pray for today. We thank you, God, for the privilege to hear their stories, to be here and to be a part of this service where we worship you, God, for Jesus is to be lifted up, and we pray and we long for people to come to faith in Christ and know that there's many avenues that happens, and we pray for these missionaries and people around the world who are serving you and worshiping you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for everybody who was able to join us and be with us today, and those that were not able to, God, we just pray you would bless them and they would sense the power and the love and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the days ahead. God, we have so much to be thankful for. I pray that we would live a life of thanksgiving to you. And God, we would see your Spirit touch and change people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Josh and Shannon, I hope you're going to come to see us personally someday. I don't know if that will happen. Who knows? But boy, we want that, and I want that. And we would love for you to come. I know that our district leaders were quite disappointed that everything happened the way it did, but you know, God's in it no matter where it is, and we're thankful for him. And just pray that you'll be blessed and safe. And when you come our way, we want you to come to Mifflinburg if you're able to do that. All thanks right. so much. Good Please luck. Tell your lovely children that we thank them for being on with us too. And it gives us four more people to pray for of our Nazarene family. We just love the family, the body of Christ and the Church of the Nazarene. It's been a privilege to have you guys with us today. God bless you. And to everybody that can hear me today that gathered here in our sanctuary again, it looks like a tremendously big crowd to me, I'll tell you that. And every one of you, I'm glad you could be here today. We kind of have a limit of 25. That's our situation here. And so we're glad that you could be here. Those that are on the phones, I can't tell if you're there anymore or not, but I think you are. And anyway, blessings those that will be on listened on Facebook, and we have a crew that does that, and those that get on YouTube, those that listen to it later, who knows? But I'm glad you've been able to hear this today. I hope that all of you will sense God's Spirit and blessings. Let me just mention, we are having a prayer service at Tracy Liddington's house on Tuesday night at 7:00. If you're able to come and be a part of that, we're going to be outside. We're going to practice social distancing, and those that are able to come We'll be praying especially for Tracy as she continues in her journey and with her treatments. Or if you want to meet here at the church at 6:40, I'll drive over, and anybody that wants to follow for a caravan, if you don't know where she lives and you prefer to do that, you can do that as well. Glad you could be with us today. We do have 4 o'clock devotions, and so we'll be putting that call out about 4 o'clock, and those that want to connect with us, and pray that you'll have a good week. I hope, unless something changes, and things can always change, we are going to celebrate the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit next week, and we're going to talk about how important it is that we walk in step with the Holy Spirit in all that we do. And so I hope you can join us. And let us know how we can stay in touch with you if you have needs, prayer requests, or might just need to talk. Or our website has a lot of different platforms of contact for different groups of people. I think we got that down now after 8 weeks. And so welcome to get on and join when you're able to. We'll keep working at it. Thanks for being here today. God bless. Shannon and Josh, you made my day. I'm glad you're here. And we wish you a great blessing in all you do. We'll be praying for you. We'll be thinking about you and as the days go by. God bless to you and to everybody else.